Thank you for tuning in to the original, not entirely historical, comedy podcast, The Great Pyramid Scheme, created by Layla Abdo. This podcast will be best enjoyed by mature audiences due to strong language.
Oh, Aaron, you strong labor man.
Oh, Khufu, you sexy CEO.
Why don't you negotiate with my penis?
Only if you negotiate with mine first.
Kiss me on my fully topped pyramid. Yes. There. There! Ah! I woke up. But it was just getting good. I mean, what a terrible nightmare. Thank goodness I am awake and out of that sexy Jewish boy.
Get a slave to change the sheets. Again.
The ancient Egyptians were not obsessed with death. They were preppers, like any reasonable sentient mortal being should be, which is not paranoia. But why do you need so much stuff to die? The jars contain vital organs so that you may move and speak, to keep your loved ones and pets near, so you will not have to scour the edges of Duat. You know, the afterworld. And can one have too much prepping? Duat prep, doomsday prep, American quadrennial election prep to move to New Zealand? All preps as critical as your colonoscopy prep. PSA, get a colonoscopy. Speaking of assholes, we join Pharaoh Khufu and Sobekhotep today at the Mortician's.
You are going to be so glad you came, Pharaoh. Mordecai is renowned.
This guy's blessed I would enter this. This is a lot.
Quite literally. Ornate silk lamps struggle to illuminate the large showroom that is more show than room.
Ha! And earned it. And cheeky.
What? I enjoy puns.
Ooh, great Pharaoh. How honored I am to have a god descend upon my humble place of trade and deliverance. Revered and mighty Khufu, the Horus on Earth.
This guy is so over the top, Sobi. You may continue your fawning.
And so, Mordecai, the funeral parlor director, fawned for two more dials of the sun before Khufu saw fit to stop it.
Enough about me, unless you really have more you wish to say.
How may I serve you, my lord Pharaoh? Are we shopping for funerary jars? Perhaps a little something more extravagant that befits your status, like turquoise combs, sealed makeup pots, or jewels you intend to curse.
As you know, I am arranging for Duat. You may have heard of my very large, very tumescent pyramid.
Oh, is it finished?
Not exactly. We're working with a new building material. Linens!
Like a fancy circus tent.
Ouch! Did you stomp my foot? That hurt!
Anyway, I'm arranging everything. The pyramid will be done soon, so I need the other accoutrements for my household.
You do well to prepare your household for Duat. You protect them from a terrible fate. The action of a provider. The head of the household's responsibility.
Yes! That's what I am! A provider to my core. The manliest of men. Like this phallic jar.
Shall we inspect the wares?
Yes! Inspect away! I'll take off my kilt for you to inspect.
Ooh, that's not necessary, my Pharaoh. You'll fit. I can tell.
I will disrobe and you will put my dick in a jar, or so help me!
We'll pay for that. Mustn't let Horus attend the afterlife with any debts.
Of course, priest. And a high priest must be well-versed in the Book of the Dead.
The verses are as fresh in my mind now as when I faced the priesthood trials. But maybe a keepsake pocketbook trinket wouldn't hurt.
Observe this one. All guilt.
You said terrible fate earlier. What is the terrible fate for the souls who don't prep for Duat? Are they all just wandering without penises? Gasp! That's terrible! This penis jar is worth every penny!
Souls wandering Duat are inevitable. Sadly, because they do not prep. They have no tongues to talk back, no sense of wholeness, only longing. These souls are a vulnerable population that will become your charges, great Horus on Earth. Why? They would do anything to not live like that any longer.
Anything? Like manual labor? All right, wives and priest, I'll be going to Dua to recruit laborers for the pyramid. Bye!
Wait. Don't you think you're rushing this, darling?
You are really bad at risk assessment. I'm still here, aren't I? Wow, I must be an exponentially better lay than Mary Titties over there.
I am wife number one, as you would do well to remember, number two.
Enough of you women. Great Pharaoh is right.
I am? Hell yeah! Of course I am. Duh. Pharaoh got it on lock.
There are rumblings in the hall, the murmurs at the site, wherever the hell peasants are whenever they aren't being useful. All of them are talking about Aaron.
Oh, Aaron, so great! What a leader!
A leader? Pah! We must bring him down before he can eye-fuck Khufu again.
We don't eye-fuck!
Khufu longingly remembers their many encounters eye-fucking.
We will handle everything, dear husband, because I am supportive, I am high profile, I am a Cairo queen.
And Sobi will go with me to help me open the gates of Duat.
Yes, the gates. The gates with specific passwords or you get trapped forever. The ones I definitely know because I am the High Priest of Egypt. Am I sweating? This feels like sweat.
Definitely sweat. Nasty.
Gross.
Ew. Clean yourself up before we go.
Right. Right. Of course, great Pharaoh. I wouldn't want to sully your spirit or accidentally trap my Pharaoh in Duat because I cheated on my Book of the Dead exams. I know all of the required rituals and whatnot to go through the seven gates.
It's 42 gates.
That's what I said.
I am prepared to guide my family in this life and the next. Totally. Look. I even got this great dick jar. Fear not, wives. I'll buy another dick jar. You will be satisfied in the afterlife.
I'd like to get satisfied in this one.
And so, our pharaoh prepared for the afterlife. Although, the chances of success were slim when faced with perishing forever in the same state as the helpless souls he was intending to harvest to scab for him. Seems fair. Aaron and Keck were bathing at the public bathhouse. Scented oils perfumed the humble, masculine space. Steam rose around them. Moans of release echoed off the blue tiles, and the men unabashedly soaked in naked glory, side by side, in complete and total harmony.
All that manual labor has you looking too fit to quit, Aaron? Let me do a butt slap to double check. Tight.
I do love the baths, the soap, the steam, the view. Cleanliness is next to godliness.
No joke, my motto friend. For us, Anubis is like the cleanest and shiniest because you want to decompose and let the liquids exit your mortal shell just right, or you'll be a motor-challenged mummy in Duat. What are cleaning rituals for Jews?
Anything with suffering. We're big on that.
Right. Bath thoughts, my dude. Always be learning.
Drenched and dripping, Sobekhotep enters the baths and sees Aaron while remaining unseen to him.
Stupid eye-fucker. Oh, great gods, I beseech you, cast down this enemy before mine eyes. May he endure a tremendous calamity.
Everyone in the bath groans at Sobekhotep's flamboyant use of powder.
Ow! What is that? What is that? That ouch, Kabibbles! What is happening to me?
What's up, my brother, in philosophical expansion?
My lower back. No. My stomach. No. My whole body. Ouch.
Dude, you need to get care. Like, urgently. Should I escort you?
No, I'm fine. I'll go to Khufu Permanente around the corner. You finish bathing. Oh.
Aaron hobblewaddles out of the baths.
Wise and terrible Neith, goddess of childbirth and war, thank you for gifting my enemy indescribable pain.
Whoa, that's one sweaty priest.
Indeed. Sobekhotep's sweat glands flow faster than the Nile as he takes Aaron's empty seat next to Keck.
This is fine. Everything is fine. I can definitely memorize all of the passwords to the gates and the time it takes me to have my bath like a cram session I did in my priesthood. Until I copied an Anubis fanboy's exams.
Did you say Anubis fanboy? Because I'm not ashamed. I'm a future acolyte.
You? Yes. You are the tattered Anubis priestling that helped with the crocodile side.
Do you want to see a dance? Dance, Anubis arm tattoo! Whoop whoop! Surf death, live death, ink death. Am I right?
The gods truly bless us in our hours of need. Praise to Sobek!
Bruh, did you not see my arm? This jackal-headed badass is the Lord of Funerary Rites and Death.
Yes, yes, sure. Let me tell you about the Pharaoh's upcoming expedition to Duat. Think about it like field experience.
The shades are drawn. Hanutsen reclines on furniture with 11 extra silk cushions and adjusts a warm cloth on her abdomen.
Hey, second bitch.
Don't mess with me, Mary Titties. I'm riding the cotton pony.
Your what?
Aunt Fatima gave me a present. My uterus is redecorating. It's my moon time.
On her period. She is on her period. Just say period.
Aw, Hanutsen, we can bond now because I'm on my period too. Sister wife twinsies.
What? How are you so cheery? It feels like my uterus is shitting tiny bombs that explode knives.
A woman mustn't let her period burden those around her. Part of practicing perfect ladylike deportment every day.
Are you kidding me?
We must ensure that no one notices that we are experiencing our time of great uncleanliness.
Rose, Etta, please eat her. Rose, Etta, where are you two? Ugh, whatever, I can't move.
I've got a special remedy, a secret sauce, passed down from generations, if you want.
No thanks. I don't want bimbo sauce interfering with my calculus for domination.
It can make you feel better.
I don't need to feel better. I am Queen Hanutsen of Upper and Lower Egypt. Measly cramps cannot... That's a bad one. They cannot keep going forever, right? Oh, ow! I will strangle you in your sleep, uterus!
My secret sauce, right here, if you need a hit.
I am strong? Independent? Oh, fine, give me your secret sauce.
Here you go. Shove it right into your delicate lady cave of wonders and feel the magic.
Meritidus hands Hanutsen an unidentifiable glob of golden and green goop. Hanutsen rapidly shoves the sticky substance into her sticky icky, feeling instant relief.
Dude, what is that stuff?
Cannabis and honey.
Cannabis? What's that?
Just this weed that grows all over the place. I don't know, but it works.
I feel all floopsy. Must be the honey.
We interrupt this episode for the Pyramid People shout-out. Bree Wernicke, co-writer of the Propaganda and Atlantis episode, is a speculative fiction author and classically trained actor. Based in L.A., Bree's speculative fiction can be found in all kinds of journals. This phenomenal multi-hyphenate wonder may even be cooking on more acting performances, playwriting workshops, and more speculative fiction publications to come. Bree Wernicke, B-R-E-E, Wernicke, W-E-R-N-I-C-K-E.com. Follow her on Instagram. We want to show some community love for Muslim Girl Magazine. The Muslim Girl is an award-winning media platform empowering Muslim women's voices. They've got jokes, they've got heartfelt content, and are all about community activism and engagement. check out MuslimGirl.com or follow them on Instagram at MuslimGirl. Now, let's get back to today's episode. Khufu, Sobekhotep, and a ready-to-geek-himself-to-death Kek arrive at the entrance to Duat, the traditional, majestic entrance that isn't for emergencies, like being trapped in a zombie fish orgy with a white supremacist god king. Before them was the very erect first pylon, which is a filthy Greek word for two pyramids and a little bridge connector to form a gate that might or might not be coined by Herodotus. And no Egyptian word remains.
I'm awesome! Egypt has got nothing on me!
Shut it, you. So Bekotep, Kek, and Khufu behold the gate. Sand stretches out in all directions, and Khonsu, the enormous moon god, passes the moon back and forth to himself in the world's slowest game of hacky sack. He ignores the mortals.
Break it down, Sobi. What do we do?
Here at the entrance of Duat, your spirit guide will come to escort you to judgment. They will give you a challenge you must complete before leading you through all the gates until we get the scabs.
Have you brought treats?
Khufu is face to face with Anubis, the god of funerary practices and the care of the dead. He has the head of a jackal and the body of Big Rami, a bodybuilder so big, he is Egypt's only famous one.
We can snack here?
Not for you, Dingus. For me. And remember, no chocolate.
Right. Treats, of course, Anubis. Sobi's got them.
Oh, no. I forgot the peanut butter femurs. Great Lord Anubis,
Here is a cattle bone that has been dry-aged for 7 days, my lord Anubis.
Rank! Excellent! Okay, let's see if you did the required prep and have nice and empty spiritual bowels.
Anubis leans over and sniffs Khufu's butt.
To be butt-sniffed by the big butt-sniffer. Rad.
Ah! Ugh, I can't wait for the invention of bidets. Bas, khalas, you're good to go. Now, your first test begins. If you succeed, you will be able to pass through the gate to the next level of Duat. Otherwise, you will remain trapped here at the gate and never ascend to godhood. Unless you know the password. Bring me the board. I want to play with it.
He points to Khonsu, who is balancing the heavenly sphere on his head.
The ball? You mean the moon? The moon that Khonsu is playing keepy uppy with? But won't Khonsu be mad?
Fetch!
Okay! Good doggy. I'll get the ball. Hey, Khonsu, can I have that?
Nope.
Please?
I've almost broken my record, so fuck no.
Khufu tries to grab the moon from Khonsu in a clownish game of keep away.
Hey, watch out! You're going to...
Khufu's fumbling succeeds in dislodging Khonsu's grip on the moon, which promptly drops into the soft sands at their feet and disappears.
Hoppa! Party foul!
Aw, now I'll never be able to bend it like Beckham.
Whoopsies! That's probably fine though, right, Anubis?
Nah, I doubt it. You lost my ball. You failed.
Wait! Sobekhotep, if you know the password, we can get through anyway. That's what you said before, right? So tell him the password.
Yes, you see? Oh, most magnificent one. I was going to learn it, but Real Housewives of Cairo was on at the amphitheater and...
God damn it.
I would, but you seem to have that covered. If I don't hear the password, you are going to stay right here, damning this limbo up for eternity.
The password is... Anubis is righteous.
Accurate and true, my young protege. These yappy shits are lucky to have you. I see you missed a few of my abs in your tattoo, but no matter. I'll fix it for you.
Wow. I didn't know a 28-pack was even possible. Thank you for this massively dope honor, my lord Anubis. I live to serve you.
Don't dope choice in God, young acolyte. Keep not fucking up, and maybe I will even give you tummy scratches. Okay, now you, little Pharaoh, can enter the first gate.
The gate into Duat shimmers to life. Khufu walks into it.
Ow!
I meant he walks through it.
Right. That was shockingly easy in the end. I cannot wait to see Aaron's face. Duat?
In the flesh this time.
Shut up, Zoe! Would you stop ruining everything? Duat, here we come!
Yes! Yalla! And I'm sure the menstruation thing won't bite you in the ass.
Yeah! Wait, the what now?
Khufu's mishap with Khonsu, which led to Khonsu dropping the ball, aka the orb, aka the literal moon, caused all of the women on Earth to simultaneously have their periods. And yes, the waters were raging.
Fuck this.
Can you see it on my pants?
I just got over this.
Thank the gods I'm not pregnant. Fuck you, Amon!
And since in Egypt, women isolate when they are on their periods, they immediately pieced out from pyramid production.
Gotta go do my monthly isolation. It's shark week for me.
Hey, Soup, I gotta take off work today. I spilled some salsa in my taco.
Sorry, can't work anymore today, big dog. I've got nether secretions.
Looks like I'm leaking mommy juice, so I gotta hide in my cellar till it's over, boss.
Oh, do you guys have the red scare too?
Yeah.
That seems a bit weird. I'm on my period. You are, and you, and you, and you, and, well, all of you? Are all of our vaginas bleeding?
A wave of recognition passes through the female workers, like the crimson wave of their collective menstrual bloods.
But wait! This much period blood near the pyramid means...
our afterlives are fucked!
Oh, are you lost? Since menstruation is the opposite of birth, it therefore symbolizes death, and tombs are the wombs of the afterlife. Ipso facto, a menstruating woman near a tomb could bring death to the tomb, which you would think is okay, because that's where the dead person goes. But that's missing the religious context, isn't it? Tombs in Egypt aren't places of death. They're places of spiritual rebirth. So, therefore, menstruating women near a pyramid equals very bad omen for the afterlife. And they might have just fucked up the afterlife of a pharaoh, which equals a very bad omen for all of Egypt.
Rather feels like a plague, doesn't it? That's silly. Plagues never happen. I should probably check on Aaron.
Women of Egypt, initiate the RAG protocol. Maximum isolation engaged!
The women of Egypt were not fucking around with their culturally mandated isolation this period. They fled to their designated period cellars like an egg yeeted out the uterus. Mimi didn't have to search long before tripping over Aaron's body huddled outside of the hospital. Her beloved brother and rebel without applause was squirming and weeping.
Aaron, what's wrong?
Oh, I can't move, but need to move. Oh, God, what is happening to me?
Should we go to the doctor?
I'll never make it. Leave me to die!
Mimi manages to drag Aaron across the threshold to Khufu Permanente, which has a handwritten sign that says, "Out of linens, need snacks." Men keep approaching the front desk as the receptionist lady tiredly repeats,
"We're out. We're out. We're out."
I don't suppose you have, any appointments?
Yep. You, sir? Yeah, we're out. Read the sign. You, lady, got an insurance card handy?
We all work on the pyramid, and our health should be an investment Egypt makes in us as we make Egypt investable.
Aaron, I can't really pay without insurance, but I also don't want you to die. What to do, what to do, what to do? And I can't think straight on my period without a snack. Maybe I still have some. Yes! Got it!
Mimi, sister, comrade, please stop snacking while I'm dying!
Did you say snack?
Oh, nothing really. Just some almonds, cashews, dates, and little golden raisins.
That is a nutritionally exceptional way to fight cramps. All right, you played hardball. Give me that trail mix and I'll add his tab to the priesthood's monthly bill.
Good. The government should pay for everyone's health care and not just the bureaucratic suck-ups.
But my snack.
Don't be selfish, Mimi. I'm in pain.
With great reluctance, Mimi gives the trail mix to the receptionist.
I don't hope you choke on it, but I do. A little. You aren't the only one with the abdominal owies, Aaron. I'm parting the Red Sea over here.
Gross, Mimi.
When will the doctor see him?
She's booked for another hour, so she'll be free late afternoon.
I'll go get some more snacks then.
I'll take goat cheese and honey crackers.
They meant for me, but... well, okay. Mimi left Khufu Permanente and was headed home for snacks when her nose caught a whiff of a tempting smell. More than tempting, it was divine.
Chocolate? I think I'm being led to the angels.
Mimi follows her nose to women wearing amulets and waving sage crowded around a fire and cauldron.
Welcome, sister, to the cult of Hecate, the goddess of magic and healing with the head of a frog. I am Feket, high priestess of Hecate.
Feket?
Feket.
You serve Hecate?
Hecate. Check it. Do you deck it?
With Hecate? No. Uh-oh. I messed up the rhyme.
Come, drink from the medicinal chocolate as modern medicine has abandoned us. Join us in our communal worship and lamentation at being struck with the calamity of woman. Here, lick a frog in honor of the goddess.
Thank you for the hot chocolate, but I can't lick the frog. I'm Jewish.
At last, the one we have been waiting for. Our DEI quota is met.
I'm just Mimi, nothing special.
Let's begin the ritual. Light the pyre.
I don't feel comfortable participating in another religion's... sure, if you feel so strongly about it, that sounds fine.
Okay, listen up, morons. I, your spirit guide Anubis, dopest god ever, have brought you to the first gate, the gate of perception, guarded by Sia.
I'm gonna swing from the...
No, not that, Sia. Although his wig is just as shiny and edged. Sia, the Egyptian god grown from Autumn's crocodile skin scarf.
Wait, his what?
You know, his sausage sleeve. His snake snuggie. His slippery, sinful skin skirt. Sia grew out of God's foreskin.
I did not need that mental image.
Whatever you do, Khufu, do not bring up the foreskin thing. I remember the Book of the Dead says he's sensitive about it.
Duh. I bet he's sensitive about everything. He's a giant...
Do not finish that sentence, mortal.
Sia, the deification of the senses, stands behind Khufu in a long white robe, a pair of delicate eyeglasses balanced on his nose, looking more like a model from a Gap ad than a disembodied personal pita pocket.
No, I meant...
Sit down.
Sia conjures an elaborate chair and a strange device made of ivory and dozens of strange lenses. Khufu sits.
Look into the lenses.
Okay, I can do this. At least this challenge doesn't have any balls to drop.
What was that about balls?
Nothing. Let's get started. This chair is not comfy enough for my divine tush.
Well, your tush will have to deal with it for a minute. Now, which is better, A or B?
Sia fiddles with the machine, and the lenses in front of Khufu's face flip back and forth.
A? No, B. No, wait, A!
Which one makes the hieroglyphs clearer?
I don't know. They all look like a bunch of squiggles with birds on them.
Psst. My lord, just choose one so we can proceed.
Really? A. Definitely A.
Wrong!
What? How can I be wrong? They're my eyes.
And yet, I am the god of perception, so I am correct. The correct answer was B.
Balls.
What?
I mean bullshit. That's bullshit.
It's not, actually. It's measuring how much you deceive yourself about your surroundings. The palpable layers of denial and rewriting your own narrative are quite staggering. Your relationship to that Aaron guy, for instance. I mean, talk about blowing.
Most magnificent pharaoh, just use the password.
Oh, of course. What is it, Sobe?
The password? What's the password? You see, my lord, after the Real Housewives was over, I went home to study, only to find some crocodiles had eaten my scrolls and...
Never mind.
Aw, is the little pharaoh stuck here forever?
I know the password, my pharaoh. Ahem. The password is... Wanky Parker.
A shimmering gate rises up from the infinite sands.
Woohoo! Keep this up and you could be High Priest one day, whatever your name is.
It's Keck.
And I'll totally put in the effort to remember that if you keep delivering results.
Khufu steps through the gate, flipping off Sia as he does so.
Blow on this, you puffed up python blanket! Who's in denial now?
Still you!
Thank you for tuning in to the original, not entirely historical, comedy podcast, The Great Pyramid Scheme. This episode was written by Layla Apto and Nebra Nelson, with story by Robert Vincent Watson, and features the voice talents of Ali Nasser, Layla Apto, Adrian Duell, Adam El-Sharkawi, Laura Laham, Lynn Molly, Morgan Vincent Watson, Robert Vincent Watson, Bree Wernicke, Nebra Nelson, and Lydia Nasima Apto. Sound design by Devin Wagoner, and original music composed by Nibal Mesoud. The Great Pyramid Scheme is audio engineered by Jason Kaw. Learn more about our cast and crew at greatpyramidpodcast.com. Thank you for tuning in.